This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. You know, kids are not exactly known for their budgeting prowess, as late-night comedian Jimmy Kimmel found out.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I would buy a flat-screen TV.
That's it?
And a mansion.
I would buy like a fun house with bouncy houses and all those fun things in one house.
You'd buy a bouncy house? Would you live in it?
Yeah, and it'll be jello inside.
It was my kind of house. That was ABC's Jimmy Kimmel Live. And although kids don't usually have $1 million to manage, they are always learning from their parents and their parents' financial habits, their spending habits. Well, a new study considers which financial issues parents discuss with their children and which they often conceal. Lindsay Romo is the author of a study. She's a professor of communication studies at North Carolina State University, and she joins us now. Lindsay, welcome. Good to have you here.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
You started your research interviewing parents. Tell us what kinds of things you ask them.
Yeah, well, there's not a lot of academic research about financial communication, particularly between parents and kids. And so I started off asking parents, what kinds of topics do you talk to your kids about in terms of money? What things do you keep a secret from them? And learned that parents are usually kind of unsure about how to talk with their kids about money. Sometimes parents feel like culturally it's a taboo to talk about money, even with your own kids. Some parents just don't want to scare their kids or worry their kids or have their kids think that they have millions of dollars because the kids have no concept of that. And some parents are just openly not very good with their own money and don't want their kids to repeat their habits. But I found that for the most part, parents are pretty open with their kids about saving, spending, and earning money. And they're less open about more personal and technical topics like debt, income, investments, and net worth. And just talking about those topics in general and then also disclosing any kind of personal numbers related to that.
All right. So kind of good advice about, you know, work hard, make money, you're going to need money and that sort of thing. But when it comes to investment, credit, that sort of thing, that's when things start to slack off. Are there gender disparities?
Yeah, I did find that I interviewed children and parents and found that while parents aren't talking very often about investments or debt, they're more likely to talk with their sons about investing and with their sons about debt than they are with their daughters, which is very interesting that both the kids and parents' data reported that.
And even with the boys, when did they start talking? At what age do parents begin having these conversations?
You know, it really varies. My most recent study looked at kids who averaged in age about 10 and a half. So kids are learning about money pretty early from their parents, but some of the children were 7 and reported learning about money from their parents. So even younger children are getting information about finances, and they're able to retain that information and recall what their parents are telling them.
So you talked
about
finances. A couple of reasons. Number one, you know, parents don't always feel competent to be talking about these things with their kids. But the taboo, how far back does that go? Do you have a sense? I mean, were parents explicit with you on your surveys about saying, oh, no, you don't talk to kids about that?
Yeah, some parents said that they've always learned that money is not something to be talked about, even with close friends and family, and they just felt like it wasn't appropriate to share with their kids. So other parents said that because their parents kept it off limits from them, they wanted to tell their kids about money. They just weren't sure exactly how to talk about it. I think, you know, maybe less so after the recession, people are more open about finances in general, but there still is this cultural money taboo that you just don't talk about certain things, particularly more sensitive topics such as income or net worth or even the nitty-gritty about investing in debt.
Well, we want to talk about financial literacy for kids and how some businesses are actually trying to improve kids' financial literacy. We're joined by Pam Hartley, who is the Vice President of Play Experience at Marvel's Kids Museum in Raleigh. Welcome, Pam. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Best job title in the world, by the way, Vice President of Play Experience. I love that. I envy it so much. And Jan Dillon is also here, Director of the North Carolina Center for Financial Literacy. Hi, Jan.
Hi. Thank you.
Good to have you here. Pam, Marble's Kids Museum has an exhibit, I guess, that teaches kids a little bit about money, huh?
We do. We opened Moneypalooza on the second floor of the museum about 5 years ago in partnership with the North Carolina Bankers Association. And the whole idea behind it is to get kids and parents to start to chat and have conversations about money and to do it in a fun way, to do it in a way that really speaks to young children's lives and gets the whole family engaged.
So you just have have the gift shop right there, and the kids ask their parents for money, and the conversation begins. Is that how it works?
Sure.
All right. Well, if that's not how you do it, then how do you get parents going?
Sure. So really, when we developed the exhibit, and again, we did it with the Bankers Association, we looked at these three areas. First of all, perhaps the most important lesson is money doesn't grow on trees, is that, we earn money. So to get kids involved with pretend play earning money in the payday section of the exhibit. The second area is really looks at spending smarts. How do you stretch your money? How do we make it grow or stretch as a family? How do we spend wisely? What do we choose to spend it on? What are our needs and wants? When are we going to purchase something brand new? When are we going to wait for it to go on sale? When are we going to we're going to go to the library and check out that book? And then the third part of the exhibit is our fabulous Money Movers Bank, really a play-based bank where all the kids are working together to deposit as much money in the shape of green balls, to deposit as much as they can into this giant piggy bank hanging overhead. And the story I like to tell kids is like, look, we're putting as much money as we can in this piggy bank, because when your piggy bank is full, in the exhibit, it will literally open and shower you in cash. But then we also, of course, say, if you save money, then you've got money for the things that your family needs and for some of the things that your family wants. And that's a hard, even at very young age, you can't have everything that you want, and we have to make decisions.
Well, Jan, you work with the North Carolina Bankers Association. Why do you think it's important for kids to learn about money management at an early age?
Well, we see that, all kinds of habits, including character and things like that, that are similar, can be learned at a very young age. And so we, again, like Pam's talking about, you can learn those things through play and through active learning. And so that's something we want to encourage as in our industry, because it's obviously inseparable from what we do.
Lindsay, you heard Pam talk about what they're doing now at the museum, and a lot of it has to do with, understanding that money is something that you earn, that's hard to come by, and that you should be smart about when to spend it, look for sales and that kind of thing. That doesn't quite get an investment. Are those kids young enough? When can you start talking about how to invest and where to invest your money?
Yeah, and I've seen the exhibit. It's terrific, and it's great that it's targeting such young children and getting them thinking about it from a very early age. It really depends on the maturity level and interest of the child. I interviewed over 100 children, and some of them as young as 10 were talking about how their parents had talked to them about stocks and bonds because they're personally very interested in that. It really depends on the child, but the takeaway is that parents shouldn't feel like they can't talk about different topics. They can, like your guest in the earlier segment talked about, really gearing the communication to the child's, where the child is at and their age level. You can still talk about these things, but you can talk about it in a way that works with your own child. You don't need to get into all the technicalities, but just explaining, what happens if you save your money. There's different ways where you can save it, and getting into it more generally can start at a very early age.
Jan, how does the Bankers Association work to improve financial literacy?
Well, for this will be the 21st year, this summer is, of one program we have called Camp Challenge, which is geared toward middle school students. And it's a week-long residential summer camp. And while the campers are there, they take a personal finance course. And so at that age, we do introduce investing, and we talk about just how your money can multiply when put in the right place. And so just understanding those underlying concepts we think is important. And that program, again, we work with students from all over North Carolina. And then now we've started the North Carolina Center for Financial Literacy, which is building a network of financial advocates from all across the state, an attempt to kind of spread and replicate these great programs that we do have and kind of improve financial education just all over.
Lindsay, I guess one of the problems for those parents who don't feel competent is that they may understand at some root level that their money can grow, but they really don't understand how. And that may
exactly.
be the problem, is that they at one point, if you have an inquisitive child, you're going to say, if I put $10 in the bank, it will be worth $15 next week. And they're going to say, how? And you won't be able to answer them really, right?
Yeah, and there are some really great websites and programs out there. But they don't talk about how to really communicate these issues to their kids. They talk more about here's what's important for financial solvency. They talk about money basics, but there isn't a communication component. So it would be really great if online websites that did have financial literacy topics could give parents some examples of, here's how you can talk about it with your kids, or here's how you can explain it in ways that kids could understand at different ages. Because you're absolutely right. It's hard for parents to conceptualize these concepts, let alone teach them to their kids, especially if the parents have struggled themselves.
Pam,
with debt.
Is that something that you feel you can take on at Marbles? I mean, the kids are pretty young to take on that level of sophistication, right?
They are, but we can start to have the conversations. We have a great school program called Dollars and Cents, where it's a magic show where it's not magic, it's dollars and cents. And one of the things we talk about in that program is when you put your money in the bank, why does it grow? And we take it on a very simple level. And we use the language of when you put your money in the bank, it doesn't just sit there. The money, the bank uses that money to make more money, and then they pay you for using that money in the form of interest. So very, very simple. And from that perspective, we were just talking about how you can make your money grow, A, by saving it and is there for you, but that you can earn interest. The second thing that we do, which is a little bit different, but it is one of these concepts that is really for older children. After working with Lindsay, we're really working now on credit cards and just that basic understanding of, hey, there's money behind the card. It's
so,
not free.
So Lindsay, then the second level of that, how the bank makes money, what it does with the money, brings us to the question of social responsibility. Is that something that parents should be teaching? Because frankly, not everything a bank does with your money, or not everything a portfolio does with your money, is something that people of conscience want done with their money. How do we teach that and that our kids that there's a right use of money and a wrong use of money, even though both may yield a return?
Yeah, in a perfect world, they would talk about that. Right now, I'm finding parents don't talk much about investing in general at all, or debt, or those kinds of topics. But yeah, that would be great. Some parents do sit down with their kids and explain, you know, if you save your money, 10% should go to charity, it should go to different causes. But yeah, that's not really on parents' radar at all at this point. And what's interesting is that kids know what information their parents are keeping a secret from them, and they come to their own conclusions, which might not be correct about why their parents are hiding it. Some kids think that their parents don't talk about investments because the parents, you know, are really bad with money, or that the family's poor, and that might not be the case. But, you know, definitely encouraging that conversation. But yeah, right now parents are talking very little about things like investments, let alone conscious investments.
Well, even the thought that the only way your money can do good is to give it to charity. There are socially responsible investments, but it takes some work. You got to work a little bit harder to find those. But again, that becomes part of the conversation. Jan, is social responsibility part of the conversation and part of what you consider social literacy, financial literacy?
Yeah, well, the mantra that we kind of use with our middle school students is spend, share, save. So whatever that may mean to the individual, and we talk about giving to charities and giving to different organizations or even an individual or something, whatever's needed at the time. And so we focus on those three core principles, and our banks do as well.
But again, this question of where does the money go, you know, that becomes another level of teaching for children. Not just that if I give it to this money manager, it will get interest, but where did that money go? Did it build a dam, or did it build, you know, a solar farm somewhere in the Midwest? That sort of thing. You want to know where the money went in order to gain that interest, and we'd hope that at some point would become part of the conversation. So now, how have things changed? Because I know, Pam, you've really thought deeply about how this exhibit should change at Marbles. How have things changed since you began?
Sure. A lot has remained the same, in that we start with young children and child development and being able to make these heady or these concepts much more concrete for them. And so even to your former question, bringing it back to a child of hey, money, we spend money, we don't at the Marbles talk about values on the exhibit floor necessarily, but when we spend money, we're making decisions about things that we care about, and you have a decision to make about this. And so going back to a small child and say, what do you care about? What interests you? What are your interests? What do you care about? And you can make money work for you for what you care about. If you get that very central connection, it's connected to who you are. That's that seed of a connection that can build into future, into middle and high school and young adulthood, that can then lead into more of the investments or making decisions with your money. But if you don't see that connection in the first place, you can't have that beginning. So those connections are still there at the museum in the play. We are adding in some modern banking, and that's where the credit cards aren't so modern, but that's important to us because again, focusing on young children, how do they see money being spent around them? And more, when they're shopping out with their parents, they're not seeing cash, they're not seeing checks, they're seeing cards. And so we're wanting to introduce that into the currency, the play currency of the museum.
I would think that would be vital and an important part of this, because so much money is spent without ever seeing a dollar. You can just click a button and it's gone. So that is a whole new level of complexity to add to your education component, I guess.
It is. Now, we're lucky because we really focus on 4 to 8 year olds, and it keeps us honest, right? Keeps us simple, keeps us focused. And if we can figure out how to play and talk with a 5-year-old about this, then we're in good shape. So it really just comes back to there's money behind that card. And even when we're playing on the floor with kids, if you want to check out a fun new Money Palooza credit card for me, you have to give me cash first. So it's almost a prepaid card when you're playing at marbles.
You sort of need an app that will show them when you click pay, you know, that actually a little pile of cash shrinks. And I can see that on my smartphone, which they have no doubt commandeered from their parents and bought
who knows what,
a couple of times.
But the kids would love to do that with big, giant, oversized, 3-foot-long dollar bills,
even
right?
Even better. Pam Hartley, Vice President of Play Experience at the Marbles Kids Museum in Raleigh. Lindsay Romo, a professor of communication studies at North Carolina State, and Jan Dillon, director of the North Carolina Center for Financial Literacy. Thank you all for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Megan Modafferi, Anita Rao, and Will Michaels. Our intern is Charlie Shelton. Robin Copley is our technical director. Brent Wolf, our news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.